That's like Tyler. He's watching Death Note right now.
Oh, and good one.
He loves anime. And he loves L, you know, obviously, blah, blah, blah. I know. And have you watched Death Note? Okay. Well, anyways, I'll just talk around it. So he was reading this blog, and the person forgot, or to Tyler, he said, the person forgot to put the spoilers tag, you know, the, hey.
Just ruined it.
Yeah, and ruined it for my, he was like, I cried for a solid 5 minutes. Like, yeah, I knew you would. But, because I asked him, I was like, how far along are you? And he's like, I'm on like episode 20 or whatever. I'm like, have fun. Like, I know exactly where you're going to break.
I'm Michael King from Starship Valiant, and I play Captain Jackson K. Bishop, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Heroes. I'm Richard, along with
April
and Lenny.
And we are brought to you by Comic Pop Library. And in today's episode, it's kind of a Halloween episode. We are going to be looking at Wraith by Joe Hill, created and written by him. So we're using Heroes loosely for this episode. And we just like the horror stuff. So we'll have other horror stuff eventually as well. But as I said, Joe Hill is the creator and writer. Art was done by Charles Paul Wilson III. Colors by Jay Fotos. And it was published by IDW Publishing in 2014. The version we have is a hardback book.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The artwork to some could be unpleasant because it's not a polished, slick look. It's more of a dirty kind of feel. But to me, for that type of artwork is great for horror type stories because I think that's what
bogged me down reading it. It wasn't the story per se. I think it was the artwork, not because it was ugly artwork. I think it's really good. But sometimes when there is some action stuff going on later on in it, it and the smaller details, it would just get a little too muddled for me.
Okay.
You know? But I still love it. And like the hardback, the cover's so cool. Like I picked this up before you even told me about it and was reading it because I was like, this looks kind of neat.
Well, we have to mention something real fast before we go on. Logan's not here, but he has read it and he is wanting us to mention a specific thing on the cover and in the story. And it is the license tag of the hearse. It is NOS4A2. And at the end of the episode, we will allude to what that is unless you wrote it down and can figure out beforehand. But we'll come back to that because that was one of the main points Logan wanted us to bring out. But we want to kind of have fun with it as well.
So it's called Wraith because it's a 1938 Rolls-Royce Wraith, which is a very high-end car.
I think that's the smartest car decision they could have made.
It's a very creepy car.
Yeah.
It worked great. And I think it's just, it's a cool...
Oh, yeah.
It's a cool kind of demon car.
Cool demon car.
and that is probably the most evil-sounding car name I think they've ever came up with.
True.
And they've got some pretty good ones, but Wraith is really like, I want to drive it. Like, who went up to the showroom and said, you know, I think that I want a Wraith?
It's kind of an unusual name for a car, definitely. An unusual book that he uses the car around. It's got two stories within it. It is a prequel of how everything started, and then it's a story with also of what happens within after the start of everything. And I don't know how much we want to discuss about the beginning of all this and the other story.
The other story is just it's kind of it is a story within a story. But it's done very well in the comic format. It goes into very good, appropriate detail without using up too much of the book. Like, I never forgot I was reading about the other story. It came back.
Right.
And it was, the dominant story was then I guess it's a past present where it was just kind of some flashback material and, the flashback story made a lot of it make more sense and helped ease you through what would be very confusing parts.
True.
But yeah, I think that the two stories work well together. And right. I think overall it's just a good story. Yeah, scary story.
I love the fact that they give the driver backstory.
That's right. Yeah. That's which it's the driver's backstory. About, I didn't want to give away. I don't know how much to give away. Like I said,
I'm not going to go into the backstory, but I like that they start it with it. You know, they give you that little prelude, you know, hey, here's kind of the setup for what's about to happen. This is kind of why he's...
Well, in the very first scene, we can talk about the first scene, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the very first scene, yeah, he's what April was saying, but he's the driver is caddying someone, not the people that the main storyline. So it is like, there's an introductory scene there where he's actually in the scene in the comic telling the story of let's go ahead and name it Christmasland, this incredibly cool place.
And then it goes back into his childhood and
then there's the real backstory that's mixed in with the rest of the story. And it's great.
And it gets dark so fast.
It's almost three stories. Because like you said, the very first story is him talking to a little girl in the back mm-hmm. that he's mm-hmm. picked up.
So he's telling her this story.
So, right. He tells her the story about...
But he involves his backstory and then he involves...
So it's a story within a story.
So it's actually three layers.
My mind has officially been boggled.
We have to mention Christmasland. We can't do it without it.
But it is a really, really dark, know, story. So
who would? Okay, here's a good question. Without spoiling, who would go to Christmasland? Like, we're horror fans, so who would go to Christmasland? I would go.
Well, they have a North Pole.
I hate Christmas.
Going up to Pike's Peak,
But the Christmasland from this story, I mean. Who would go there for amusement? Like, an amusement, obviously, you go to that on Halloween, not on Christmas with your kids.
I would chill at Christmasland.
I think it would be awesome. I was thinking that if this guy goes far enough, he could even... and I've actually been to a place in Colorado, which is near here, that... by the way.
obviously.
We thinking about the North Pole?
It's the place I've been to is Royal Gorge, and they have a Royal Gorge. But there's other places. Like, it's very popular for them to do anywhere there's an old railroad track, and they have a train. They're like, let's do a little Christmas village and charge tourists a butt ton of money to come ride on our train. but it is really cool, and but also the Christmas village, from an adult perspective. Out there in the canyons, in the gorge itself, it's just a little creepy. Like, you could imagine being there, like, having to work on the thing or, like, work in the park. Like, it's almost like, you know, what? Like, maybe this Joe Hill actually worked in one of those parks and then...
Well, this actually started at Cripple Creek.
Yeah, and that's where he says he's from. He moved to my favorite state, Kansas, after... Calm down. It was just a joke.
I'm actually offended. Like in Kansas.
You know where you are, right?
She does.
And that's the unfortunate part. I've been other places. But it's not any better anywhere else. It's just, you're a teenager no matter where you go. Sorry.
No, my favorite. Never mind. But this is such an off topic. Go ahead.
This is a bad place for teenagers. I'll admit that. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I think amusement parks in general, especially, you know, after hours, dark, desolate, you know, it's always going to have a bit of a creep factor. But for me personally, it's very hard to make Christmassy stuff scary. To me, it just turns into comical. Like, I can't take a snowman seriously, even when it has jagged teeth and blood all over it. I just think it looks like a dumb snowman. So that's probably another reason why I kind of slugged through this. It was just because the idea wasn't scary enough for me just because it was Christmasland, you know? I mean, I like the idea of an amusement park, but the Christmas thing kind of threw me because I cannot find that scary.
Well, I think that it's like Richard was saying, it's actually based on Colorado, and that's mm-hmm. the way they do have creepy little Christmas themed. And they are, go to one. They especially when the lights are off in the daytime, like when you can really see the detail of the place. creepy. Yeah. And so Joe Hill was probably at one of these. I'm imagining him at one of these amusement parks near Cripple Creek, probably. Or just like little areas that somebody dressed up thinking, you know, that's supposed to be Christmas, but it is really creepy. And since it's July, it's even more creepy. And that's, and then thus Wraith was born. But, you know, and I think that I get what you're saying. It isn't that scary for an adult. Yeah. The Christmas characters attacking. But to me, the children, the demonic children, yeah, and the demonic creepy driver, and the fact that you're trapped in Christmas land, and then that was the part that really was worth it. And I mean, and I understand what you're saying, though, that it kind of loses some of it because it's happy and colorful and Christmassy. And
pretty much the only character you need to know is Charlie Manx. Yes. He's the driver. He's the father. That all this
revolves around. He is our protagonist. He is our hero. He is our one, the way, the light.
He is everything.
But I really like the character of Charlie Manx, by the way. All the way through. I like his transition and his easy, happy life going to crazy.
Right. And they don't really explain how he received these powers, but whatever he perceives comes about. Because he, in the very beginning, he's attacked by a person and is molested. And
right, that happens kind of before the Wraith.
And, right, and it comes in and he brings the snowman to life and kills them and everything.
I almost forgot about that. No, yeah, he did that.
When he's taken his family later to Christmas land because they're all upset because he's invested their last money.
In Gates. It's literally just Gates.
And they go there. There's nothing there. But then all of a sudden it appears because he's created it in his mind. Now it's there.
I love it.
So it's what we'll get to later on with the tag is kind of skewed a little bit. So I don't want to mention that until we get later on into the episode.
But, yeah, I want to know what that's about.
But it is the interesting fact that he can create the stuff.
Okay, so I do understand and I agree with that. And that it's interesting because I actually was under the delusion that it was the car. Mm-hmm. Because when he bought it, he got a Rolls Royce Wraith mm-hmm. for so cheap because of the unfortunate demise right. of its previous owner, which, like a house, a car, if somebody dies in it and you try to sell it to somebody else, you have to tell them
right.
that somebody is, and I'm not really sure why it's necessary. it's like the government really believes in ghosts.
Well, you don't tell everybody that's some.
And that's real laws. That's not involved. Stuff they just made up for TV. Like, that stuff is real. Like, you really have to tell every person that's ever died in a house that it's known. Like, it's called full disclosure. And it's weird because it's like, okay, yeah, but ghosts aren't real. You know that, right?
If you want to know about that, that's one other thing that you might want to know about. How much promiscuity involved in some of these things?
Because like,
I really want to be in a car that somebody might have had all types of fun in?
Yeah. I don't care about
pretty blood. Much once it comes out of the factory, you got to accept that somebody probably did. Because car salesmen are a little bit sleazy to start with.
I like in the story, because this topic is kind of boring to me.
I didn't do nothing. I didn't even bring up the topic.
I like that the driver is, he's his heart's in the right place. As bad as a person he is, think about it. With his background, I'm a punchy. He knows.
I'm just scratching my mustache. What?
With his background and with who he targets, with who he saves, whichever way you want to look at it, to him, he is a godsend. He is a hero to these children.
And well, that's why he smiles so big. He's just so dang happy.
I know. And so it's like, really, are these kids sad?
Well, and we mentioned the
demonic in a murderous children. Monster way. No, they're not sad at all. I don't think they can form a frown.
The children
with those teeth.
The children he's taken are the ones that are being molested, are the ones that are being beaten. So it's not like he's taking the children that have happy places.
No, homes.
He's taking the downtrodden, he is abused.
Saving them.
So in his mind, he is really the hero of the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, why do we have to throw all this theoretical nonsense
cool.
in? The truth is I mean, like, where in the story does it say he's not the hero? I mean, he is. Oh. In the end, he kind of puts them through the, like, okay, you've been accused of a lot. You know, he puts them through the trials of his little amusement park. But if they get out, they didn't deserve it anyway. And that's the deserving it. That so he is a punisher. You know, he's not just you know, he's there to get these molesters and these, you know, I think I see him as a hero. And in fact, that's why I said protagonist, but you could look at him like a villain because he is scary as shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's fun to have a hero that's scary. He is scary and his place is scary and his ability is scary.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a good guy. He doesn't do anything bad to a child, one in the entire, as a child, and as a child, he is molested.
And as a family man, he's a great dad.
Had some bad luck.
His wife was a shrew.
Yeah, the kids took care of her. He was a good husband. It was, yeah, it was the wife was the problem. But so he himself, the life is what warped him. He was not warped to begin with.
Right.
And I mean, yeah, warped, yes. Scary, yes. Murderer, sure.
Misunderstood?
Of course. But a villain, Charlie Manx is no villain. Not, and that's my firm opinion. Yeah. I don't, I'm sure, and maybe that's not what Joe Hill was doing, but I feel like that's what he was doing. I feel like he was like onto something. He's like, I'm going to give you guy, put blood on the window of the car, put a little girl in the first scene in the back seat of this car where there was a bloody handprint on the cover of the book whenever you get the book for your library, which you're going to love and enjoy. Yeah.
This is
there's blood. There's blood all over it, and he looks like this villain. He looks terrible, but he's a hero. I mean, in a weird, warped world, he's a weird, warped hero.
Yep.
Charlie Manx for president. I'm going to start printing those t-shirts, that's like, and I'm going to make a buck.
That's like, this is kind of...
I will get you your buck, Joe Hill. Thank you.
Yeah, turn off, but totally different direction. Peter Pan is kind of the same way. You can look at it as, depending on what theory you believe in, but let's just assume these little boys were alive when Peter took them, and this is a real place, Neverland.
What's the other theory? I mean, you do know that Peter Pan is a fiction by S.A. Bill, right?
Yeah, no, but there's a theory that Peter Pan is an angel and the children are dead.
Yeah, you know what I hate about the internet? The internet has given a billion people the right and no, the need to put their opinion out there as if the artist who created the work gave a beep. I mean, like, I know what you're saying.
Kettle Black.
The theory is the guy died in like 1910. The guy who created Peter Pan created him exactly as he was. You can recreate him as an angel. You can recreate him and pull that motif. Writers use motifs, but they wrote what they wrote. It's just like you can't say Mona Lisa was a man in drag. You know, you can say she looks like a man in drag. Except, but see, the thing is that since the dude's dead, there is no answer. It's just mindless questions. And,
right.
And so, the thing is, and I think it's really rude, like, when people,
that's fun.
Sometimes, but some of it, it's like, you know, like you can parody Peter Pan, you can make Peter Pan into whatever you want, but Peter Aunt Pam by S.A. Bill was what he was.
I know, I
exactly what he
on
was.
Theories, an I elf. Have the thing. I have
see where I went with that.
Yeah, no. I have the deal on like.
He's what I think he was. No, I'm just kidding.
That for theories and everything, it's like as long as you have enough credibility and evidence to support that, cool. Then it's a good theory. And also, unless the author, and I don't care what era, unless they put in their book or put in, you know, just them saying this character, like Peter Pan, if this character is a real person, it is not, you know, these are real kids, all this stuff. Unless they say that. I forget, but anyways, not.
But
my
it's
point.
Open for interpretation. My point is it's your interpretation. It's not a theory. He, you know, whenever you create something, you create it as it is. When you change it, you change it as it is. But you don't like, you know, you can. It's okay for other people to expand on your ideas and kind of try to figure out what you were thinking. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think it's still just an interpretation. An author wants the person to do that too.
I'm not saying they don't want you to do it.
I think it is cool when
it's
people
like we're
interpret
talking about
it
here.
Is
he just a hero instead of a villain?
Yeah, like that's our theory.
I think that's what.
But it's not really our theory.
Is Peter
really
Pan a hero or a villain?
Yeah, I'll say I'm not even bringing. I was saying I'm not bringing.
And
up
I don't really
the
even,
angel one.
I don't really even care about Peter Pan personally.
No, I'm just saying it's like that where you could see where you could see Peter Pan as
the
being
peanut
a
butter
hero
is good, so it's a hero
or a villain. Is what I'm saying.
I can totally see him being a villain, and that's why I was going to say, like, I think it's okay to interpret it. But again, when you interpret it, you are, again, being an artist and changing it to what you see, to what you want. Like, they call it a theory. What it is it's a new idea. the people are, you know, like they're trying to guess, do guesswork on things that don't need guesswork on, I guess is what bugs me about it. And it's okay.
Well, that's what scientific theories are too.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, but it's, that's what I guess it's clouded as being scientific, for, with stuff like that. Like, when I'm just, I'm not talking about you. This isn't about you. I'm talking about, I read on the internet when people are like, this is what Twilight is actually about. You know what I'm saying? Have you seen that? That's what bugs me. This is what this was. This is what they're actually saying.
Well, yeah,
and they're trying
like
to take over
go,
and say this is what this author really meant.
I just like it.
That's
when
what
they,
bothers me is because like you don't it. Really know what they meant because you're not them.
Well, yeah, I like it when they put up their theory on it. They put up their interpretation of it.
I just haven't seen too many people, you know, that are like. Usually, it's really like just to me. What I the ones I've seen are just really like kind of. I don't want to say
this
rude.
This is the way.
They're just very assuming. They're like, this is what it really is. And maybe it's a ploy to catch people's attention on the internet because I realize there's a lot of like,
trolling.
Like this will blow your mind. And then it's something totally not that. It's like a cat rolling.
They're fishing for hits.
But that's my thing. Because it's like.
Yes, I didn't mean
like
to go
that.
On a rant there. I wasn't saying what that wasn't an okay thing to do when you're thinking or any. What I was just saying is it bugged me when people would do that online. I wasn't trying to say that what you were saying was wrong. I was just sorry. I think we got crossed. No, I was just saying that like, and maybe it's because they don't call it a theory. They're like, this is what it is, and it just bugs me the way that they word it.
Right,
because I totally agree with you. It's cool to interpret and wonder what the author and
and that's what I mean with with theory. I don't mean fact.
Yeah,
I mean
like,
theory.
Yeah, and, yeah. Well, and I'm not saying
let's
like
crawl
that.
Back
it's just
out
like,
of the rabbit hole.
Yeah,
and get back to
the Wraith.
Joe Hill's Wraith. part of it is like Lynn said, and April was saying, it's the ambiguity of the character. The other story part of it is Christmasland and a group of prisoners that are there. And that's one of the other main.
The true beings. Villains.
Right. And that's where.
That one's kind of cool.
Like Lynn was saying, the main character doesn't do anything to him. He just takes them there.
His job is to take them for their counseling. Their Christmasland counseling.
And it's one of those
with
where.
The sugar bears.
The artwork to me lends itself to the story to make it more disturbing.
Yeah, I love the artwork.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sets the mood for it. Because if it was a flashy comic booky type artwork that you see in the superhero stuff or something like that.
That would really make it comical.
With
Christmas.
Wouldn't work as much. Yeah, it wouldn't work as near as good as affecting you as a story. The Christmas being as a, maybe not as scary. To some people, it is. It's like the Easter Bunny scares people to death. Clowns scare people to death in some things.
Really? So, I've never seen it, but I understand why. I don't understand why they're scared of them. I just know that there's a popular fear.
Christmas
of them.
Villages are pretty creepy.
I will say that. I've never felt it.
And if you give a child, have them sit down, they're watching a show, and Santa's killing people, that's going to affect them. They're going to be kind of scared of stuff. And that's the thing with the snowman. It's something innocent, but they're doing the horrific deeds.
Right.
And that's what scares some people is it's the innocence. That
that's
are doing
what I
the
like. I
deeds.
Like that it's the kids that are kind of calling the shots.
And I think that it's like kind of like a trick because you think they're doing horrific deeds and then you realize that the people that they're doing them to are rapists and murderers and child molesters and terrible people.
But then you
and
have,
really they're just exacting justice.
But then you have the theory. Why did I just say that? Because I'm still on. But then you have the two opinions of mercy or revenge. Yes, they're horrible people, but they are still people. I mean, not that that's my personal opinion, but there are people that see that flip side. And so that's every single part of this book has a flip side to it. I don't think you'll agree with anyone 100% on every part of this book, which I think is cool.
Because
you'll really get to see what people's morals are.
There is part of this that there's the comic book and then there's text. And I'll have to admit, I did not read the text, so I don't know if either one of you read the text or not.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Okay, so you want to discuss the text a little bit and how deep it gets or not and what it goes into? Because I don't know, because I was at that point, I was like, I need to get this back to some other people. So I just finished it there and passed it on to other people. So if you want to mention the text, because that's kind of unusual, too, having their backup story being basically a, a book or a novella, I guess you could say, a short story. So I don't know what that entailed.
I really don't think that I read. I did thumb through the text. There was a lot of pictures there, honestly. but I don't think I actually read that part. And I think it was for the same reason that you did, which now I feel kind of foolish. The reason I feel foolish is because now she may just not remember it. I don't think I actually read much of it. I know that it's not the same story, but it's along the same lines of like somebody going to Christmas land and I don't know what happens because I didn't read it.
The hard part is that once you're done reading any book, and this one in particular, because this one takes some energy
out of you. We need to mention that.
You know?
It's a heavy text book.
Yeah, and I mean, it takes your energy, not even just only on the technical side of it, on the reading side of it, but just the story itself is so heavy and deep and everything. And then to get done with it and then turn a page or two and kick into gear for another little deal. It's very strange, you know, especially when people usually don't even turn the pages. They're just...
Right. There you go.
I think it probably has something to do with the novel. So I hope that... I may have to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I may have to go back and read it. I didn't read it in the first place. Now that you've asked about it, I feel ridiculous. But I'm sure it was good for anyone that wants to read this. It's... I'm sure it was good.
We were losing you there. You were going to the well.
I fell very far. I think I just looked at the pictures pretty much. And I was in the same state. I was in a hurry when I was finishing it. So,
it's one. It is a prequel to a novel. And this is where I will say if you don't want to know this answer or the answer to the license tag, or if you figured it out on your own, it kind of hints at some stuff. But if at this point you want to kind of sign off, that's all right. We won't bother you because this is a little bit of a spoiler type stuff here. And it does lead into a novel of the same name.
Spoiler.
We said at the beginning the license plate on the Wraith was NOS, the number 4.
Alpha Dog.
A2.
Thank you, April. And so that forms one word.
That spells something.
And you just sound it out phonetically. And April's going to do it for us here, maybe.
I have no idea. I haven't talked to Logan about this at all. So I don't know what's happening. I was going to sound so dumb. So is it no first, or does he pronounce it nos or nos?
Nos.
Nos. See, there's a difference right there. I would have gone nos.
It works either way.
Nos for... A or a? Nos for a two.
You got it. That's
pretty
it.
Close. Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
And for everybody that's a horror fan or vampire fan, that was the original title for a vampire for the movie Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
The license plate on the thing is a symbology for a vampire.
Vampire.
So
Nosferatu, the first vampire. Maybe.
Or maybe it's just random letters and numbers.
It's basically saying that Charlie Manx is Nosferatu, the first vampire, and he is the creator of the vampires, even though it's not a traditional sense of the vampire, because he created them from his mind, basically. And he turned himself and the kids into the vampires.
Well, great. And now you spoiled the whole
book. That's why I said spoilers before I said that.
No, I already knew that.
But Logan wanted us to mention that because he thought it was really cool, and it leads into the novel. The title is The License Plate.
So it's obviously going to give you more depth about what is going on with the demonic magic or whatever is going on in Christmas Land with Charlie Manx.
That's pretty cool.
Sounds exciting. Get the novel, read it.
Joe Hill's, I bet you, it'd be so funny. Joe Hill didn't even mean to do that. He just wrote that stuff down, and now he's going to hear this and be like, I'm going to run with that so hard, it's not even funny.
No, he wrote a novel with it. I'm pretty sure that he knew what he was doing there.
And the novel came before the graphic novel.
I'm not real good with phonetics. You had to point that out to me in the library the other day when I was getting the novel. But I just looked at it, and I was like, okay, that's the license plate. Means nothing. Moving on.
Well,
read the book. Then he's like, did you notice the license plate? I'm like, Yeah, it had expired tags.
Well, yeah, well.
That's what I noticed. I'm like, oh, you're not legal. The cops are going to get you.
Yeah, well, though, like, I would have said this if I was just sounding it out, you know, without asking. I would have said, nose for A2.
Oh, it still kind of works because a lot of people mispronounce it, so.
Kind
of,
you know, so.
It still
so
kind of sounds right.
Are, but that's also cool because then it'll get your brain going on, okay, how else can you, like, nose, nose. True. And, all that good stuff.
True.
Brain teasers.
But this is one, I would put it in the library just for your horror fans. They'll appreciate it. And if nobody knows who Joe Hill is, we'll give that away too, because there's no secret about who Joe Hill is. It's just if you might know it, you might not. And he is the son of one of the master horror writers of our current time, and that is Stephen King. So he
took, it is a pen name.
Yep, he took Joe Hill so people wouldn't judge him by his name, and he's proven to be a well-rounded writer in his own right. So I think he has about 4 or 5 novels now, maybe 4, somewhere in there.
I'll be honest, I just blinked out so hard. And yes. All I heard was Stephen King.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Go again?
That's how it goes.
Joe Hill, Stephen King's son, biologically.
It's totally, I assumed son, but all I heard was Stephen King out of everything that was just said. So I was like, this is not Stephen King. Boo! His son. Gotcha.
There you go. But this is one, like I said, it'd be a nice addition to a library for your horror fans. It's a good read. It is does definitely need to be in the mature section because it does deal with themes and mature themes. It does have some images that are disturbing.
I like the third page.
Right. So there is a little bit of nudity in it as well. So you have to look at that as well where you're placing it. So you have to put it in your mature collection. So that
certainly
would be
not for children.
No. So this is one horror fans gravitate it. Point it out to your horror fans. They'll appreciate it. They'll like it. And then steer them to the novel, and they will dig onto that as well. And I think that's going to wrap it up for us this go around. We appreciate everybody listening to us. Hope you're having fun out there listening to us. We're having fun here, even though sometimes we go down the rabbit hole. So it's fun to go and come back out sometimes.
And it's almost never my fault.
Everybody takes a turn. So everybody take care out there. We'll see you the next go around.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.